Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's good to see you all here. It's such a joy to come here on a sunny day. Just a wonderful feeling not to have to clean off a vehicle when you come here. Our sermon text will be taken from the Gospel of John. We're going to read from chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 29 through 42 on the second Sunday after Epiphany. If you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 29, continuing in Jesus' name. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he who have I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am coming, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record in the Son of God, and again this next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus, he said, As he walked, he behold him, that Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. And Jesus turned, and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And he came, and they came and saw, and he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak followed him, and his name was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Caiaphas, which is being interpretation, a stone. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, this word that's before us just goes beyond our imagination. We don't have to look into the audience. We don't have to look anywhere. We know the ignorance of man is very powerful just behind this pulpit. Father, this message speaks so boldly about something that is so foreign. And it is so foreign from human beings. But yet, Father, we know by your grace and your mercy that you will reveal to us the true intention of this message. We ask that you would strengthen us through your word, that you would sanctify us in the truth, for we know your word is truth. We ask this all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I think we blow through these texts. I think we read these texts and we just like, oh yeah, that's great. You know? Now we saw John the Baptist and he points to Jesus. Well, that's the passing of the baton is what we often call it. The people were asking John the Baptist who he was. They were seeking. They wanted to know if he was the Messiah. Previously to our text, he answers, he says, I am not him. I am not the Messiah. Then we're given by John this great insight after he makes his dedication where he makes his plea to the people, I am not the Messiah. Now John has an opportunity to reveal to them who is. Who is the anointed one? Our text opens up in this fashion. It says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. He sees Christ coming. He knows who he is. And at this point, he knows who the Messiah is because we were just privy to the information last week when we preached from Matthew when Jesus was baptized. We understand that the heavens were opened up. We understand that the dove or the Spirit came on him as a dove, lighting upon him. And we also have the confirmation of God's Word, God's speaking. This is my beloved Son. in whom I am satisfied. I am well pleased. This text has more to do with forgiveness than it does anything else. That's why I say it's foreign to us. I can't look in your hearts. I can't deal with you as far as knowing what your internal issues are or what your struggles are. And thank God! Because my heart's black enough. When I read this text, it speaks to me in boldness of the forgiveness of God found through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it also speaks to me a very great boldness of people searching for that. Longing for that. Even these self-righteous individuals that are questioning John the Baptizer, they desire something. John knows. John is not a lightweight. John's not a radical goof. Jesus speaks some of the most powerful words about a human being about John. He said there was never a greater prophet than John. Jesus speaks. But then Jesus speaks something that's so powerful, he says, but yet even, if we could say it in human terms, the least of Christ's followers is greater than him. We have been given so much. Not because Jesse can perform. Not just because Jesse can do something great, or he has eloquent sermons, or he has choppy sermons, or whatever it may be. It's not about Jesse. It's about him. John sees Jesus coming from afar, and he turns around and he tells the people, he points out to the people, he says, look. You could almost hear it being said, look, your Redeemer draweth nigh. Your salvation is coming close. But he turns around and he makes this statement. He says, behold, look at this Lamb of God. Even in temple worship, this is very, very huge, a sacrifice. This Lamb of God. This instrument, if you could even say, the Lamb of a payment. He comes across and he says, behold the Lamb of God. That does what? Looks pretty? Is so cute, we'll put a bow on it? He has an effectual work. He has a work that is so powerful that even to a crusty heart like mine, it speaks volumes. Takes the sin debt. Forgiveness. Where would you be without it? I wouldn't be in this pulpit. You guys think I'm perfect. You're smoking something. I am not perfect. I'm not bragging about it. It's a reality. Left to my own devices, I am a piece of work. I'm not bemoaning myself. Tell me you're better. The question comes to you and I, very boldly, without forgiveness, where would you be? Lost. Without forgiveness in raising your children, where would you be? Without forgiveness in your marriage, where would you be? Without forgiveness within your fellowship and your friendships, where would you be? Without forgiveness for yourself, where would you be? Most miserable. Forgiveness is not a toy. But yet it is also not my own power to wield. Forgiveness is a gift. And there are times that we do not have the ability of our own strength to be able to offer such a thing as called forgiveness. But we understand and know by the finished work of Jesus Christ, by the empowering of His Holy Spirit, we are able to pray that we would have this ability. Father, I want to forgive, but my heart is bitter. Help me. I want to be able to look at another individual without having memories of old issues and struggles. Help me. We hear the old statement of the fact of when you point a finger at somebody, what? You got others pointing back at you. I guess it's three, hey? Forgiveness. Where would you be without it? John points out the fact of this Lamb who comes for effectual work to take the sin of the world away. In 1 John, it brings it out very, very powerful. He says in this part of chapter 2, he says, "My little children, I'm writing this to you that you don't sin." Well, there's a good one. I'm not going to sin anymore. Does John expect that I'm not going to? Does he expect that I'm going to be perfect from now on? When I look upon a brother and sister in Christ, I will always have the most optimistic attitude and I will always put the best construction? No. Because we have a tendency to work with emotion. And oftentimes our emotion, which is beautiful, but yet also treacherous, can lead us in a foreign way. Where because of emotion, we no longer will look at it as the fact of that they are also a fallen individual. We look at it from the pain on our side and we have a tendency to be a jerk. I have that gift. But John says, "My little children, I'm writing these things unto you that you don't sin. Be good." But he doesn't believe that we're going to be able to follow through with this. He says, "And if any man sins," which he believes, I'm sure we are, "understand this, above and beyond that sin, you have an advocate." You have an advocate with the Father, and His name is Christ Jesus, the righteous one. And it says, He is the propitiation, or the payment, the satisfaction for our sins. And He says, guess what? Not just for ours. Not just for ours. What did John say? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes the sin of the apostolic Lutherans away." "Behold the Lamb of God that takes the sin of the Baptists away." Because John was a Baptist. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes the Roman Catholic Church sin away." He says that takes the sin of the world. Inclusive, not exclusive. John says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate before the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. He is the satisfaction, the propitiation, the payment, whatever you want to say, for our sins. But not only for ours." He clarified, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. The one who is offended. He has paid the satisfaction for them. We walk around in life with hindrances and hurts that we don't need to bear. We walk around with struggles and difficulties and we try to carry these things that we don't need to bear because Christ has paid for the penalty of each and every one. Not just for mine, not just for yours, but also for them. Why do we carry it? Forgiveness. Where would you be without it? John says, "He is the one that taketh away the sin of the world." This is the one that I talked about before, the man that comes after me, which is preferred before me. And then he says, "I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." And he says, "I didn't understand exactly who he was." John knew Jesus. They were cousins. But the revelation of him being the Messiah was not given until he baptized Jesus. That's what he's speaking about here. Oh, I'm sure he knew he was important. Oh, I'm sure he understood that part of it, but did he understand fully? We have a lot of people in this world running around understanding the importance of Jesus. But is the revelation of his Messiah, of him being the Messiah, is it real? And do they know? Do we show them? Do we offer them the grace that we have been given? It's interesting, because when we turn around and we ask a question, where would we be without forgiveness? Then the question is, why would we not offer forgiveness to another? We offer it to a select few. I had a very good friend. Probably one of the most generous people that I know in my life. And he was having a hard time because someone came into his yard one night and stole basically a good amount of his fuel out of his fuel barrel. And it was probably only $150. I mean, not that that's not a lot of money, but it irritated him. I never saw him so angry about something. And I told him straight out, you've got to forgive this. You've got to let it go. And he's like, well, it's easy to say. I said, of course it's easy to say. I said, but we're going to pray about this. I said, but before we pray about this, I'm going to ask you a question. First, I told him a statement. I said, you are one of the most generous people that I do know. But are you upset because you didn't give it away? Are you upset because you weren't able to open up your valve and to fill somebody's car? Because if they asked, you would have gave it. He still reminds me of that. To this day. And that's how we are as human beings. We are so quickly offended when it is not our hand doing the work. And I'm not trying to turn this into a spiritual moment where someone stole from him, so therefore it was a gift of God for this person. But they stole from the Lord. Because what he had was given to him. And that fuel would be replaced. But when someone offends you, or deals with you in a way that you don't like, is it an offense in reality because you couldn't control it? If somebody was to say to you very honestly, I want to say something to you, and I want to speak to you about this issue, would you be so offended instead of if they just went and told you or said something snide to you? So there's two lessons in there. First and foremost, presentation is huge. How you say something, how you deal with something. The second of all, understanding that we need to have forgiveness even in and through the situation. Because some people just don't know how to say things. I'm a classic example. I have a lot of people that tell me they love my bluntness. But to some people, that's not very, very fond in their attributes towards me. They don't like my bluntness. That's okay. But what he speaks here, very straightforward, is now, he knew. He knew who Jesus was, yes, but he didn't understand him as Messiah. And he comes across in this great fashion of bringing this out, saying, you know, I understood, and I'm saying that in my own words, I understood who he was as a person, but I didn't understand the magnitude of who he is. Well, there's many people living in this world nowadays. They'll give a great audience to a person named Jesus, but do they understand him as Lord and Savior, as the Messiah, as the Anointed One? And John now says that, but I bear record. He says, I'm giving a testimony here within this scripture saying that I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove upon him. He says, and I didn't understand who he was, but he sent me in reality to baptize with water. In other words, God spoke and I moved in action. And this is another part for us. Are we willing? When God speaks to us or tells us to share or tells us to encourage or tells us to speak to somebody, are we willing to do this without understanding the rest of the story? I think that's a huge kudos there to John on this. He received word of, from God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he enters into the world and he does this. And he didn't fully understand exactly what was going on. Do we? And do we have the patience and the ability to deal with one another, going through their struggles, going through their difficulties, to listen and to speak without yet understanding fully what's going on? I don't know, maybe I'm just being crazy. Maybe we are supposed to wait for every single stoplight to turn green before we move forward. Try to go through Boston now. I'm not going all the way down to the fourth block until every one of these lights turns green. John didn't. But I didn't fully understand. But I was called to do something. And I did. In fact, in and by doing what I was called to do, then the revelation of who Christ was came to me. It was revealed. I saw it. He says, so I did what I was called to do. I saw the Spirit come upon him. And then, this is the one that I have known of that will baptize or join together with the Holy Spirit. And this really is salvation. Very powerful. That's what baptized with the Holy Spirit would mean, joined together. And he says, and I saw and bear record of this that he is the Son of God. And that's exactly right. That's what God told him. This is my beloved Son. So then we're giving another insight. Jesus gives a powerful testimony of Christ as the Lamb of God. I mean, John gives a powerful testimony of Jesus Christ as being the Lamb of God. No doubt about it. And he goes on to detail, to share even with those that were listening, of how much God worked through this whole thing. And then it says on the next day, what does he do? And looking upon Jesus, as he walked, John turns around and he says, look, there's the Lamb of God. You know what that's like saying? There's forgiveness. You want forgiveness, right there. Brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, we as ambassadors of this gospel, as the scripture also would tell us, we can, yes, very powerfully assure and remind people of the forgiveness of God, but it is not our work. We are as John. Look to him. John brings this out very powerfully. He says, behold the Lamb of God. And instantly it says two of his followers now start following Christ. Why? What do they need? And two of his disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned around and saw them following him, he turns around and says, what are you looking for? You know what they're looking for? Forgiveness. That's what I believe. If you took this question of Jesus, when Jesus turned around and saw them and following, said unto them, what are you seeking after? We go back, directly back, to verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming. And he said, behold the Lamb of God. That what? Takes the sin. Those with a heavy heart. Those that desire for restoration and for healing. They go to brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the same for us in this day and age. That we would seek Him for forgiveness, for restoration, for healing. That we would seek Him even for our own ability to forgive. Forgiveness is extremely huge within the Scriptures that we often have a tendency to overlook. We like to see miracles. We want to be fed. We want to be clothed. We want to have raha, money, whatever else you want in life. We want those things. We want the weather to change. We'll pray for those things. We want the Packers to win, or maybe the Lions. We pray for those things. offer. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away. And then, behold, the Lamb, and they go. They have need. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is meaning interpreted Master. It's a very powerful term for the day. Where are you? Where do you abide? Where do you abide? Isn't that what we also seek for? Where is God bound? Where is forgiveness bound? We turn around in this day and age, and I pray that we have the ability to go to the church. I'm not talking denomination. I'm speaking about Christ-believing, gospel-believing, Bible-preaching church that brings forth the Word of God, that we may encourage one another, not only in the goodness of God, but in His forgiveness. That we can stand up amongst a pile of people that are hurting and that are bleeding and suffering and say, believe all your sin, doubt, and fear forgiven in Jesus' precious name and by His shed blood, because He paid that penalty for you. It is not a joke. It is not something we pull out when we just feel a little bit guilty. It is a reality, whether I like it or not. There is forgiveness for you by Him. They seek. And Jesus asked, what are you looking for? Where are you? You ask that? Where are you? I am here. I am here. I am here. But when Jesse is the backside of a donkey and cannot offer forgiveness because of my stubbornness, my pride, because of my feel bad. They don't see. They don't see. Paul says very strongly, and yes, I got plenty of time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled, brought us back to Himself. How? Through Christ Jesus. But then He has also given us something. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then He comes out very strongly and He says, namely, and He's giving you the description of this ministry. Namely, it says, to wit in King James, that God was in Christ, bringing us back, reconciling the world to Himself. Not what? Imputing their trespasses unto them. And He has given to us what? Committed to us the words of the ministry of reconciliation. And He even goes on to say something very powerful. So now, you are His ambassadors. Representation. And when we, because of hard feelings or because of bitterness or struggle, cannot forgive people, they don't see that. Forgiveness is key. The first one that I would pray, that I would ask that you would forgive, is yourself. Because God. And if you can't live in that forgiveness for yourself, how will you show it? I know one thing. No one needs to come to my office and accuse me of being a goof. That's a nice word. I am. I know one thing above and beyond. There is a bucket load of forgiveness for one such as me. So if I can be forgiven of all people, I know you can. For God's sake. May we move forward in forgiveness. May we have this peace one with another. And may we show this forgiveness to a world. that so desperately needs us. May we be His true ambassadors for Jesus.